I'd like for us to open our scripture or our Bible up to the Ephesians, the second chapter, and I'd like to read a few verses here. We'll begin in maybe in the 11th verse. Oh, maybe we'll start in the 8th verse. It's kind of hard to know where to not start here. This is a pretty good chapter. He says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we should walk in the good works that God hath ordained for us to walk in. He says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." So there's been this division between your background and the background of the Israelites or the Jewish people. He says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There are many of us that have been a long ways from God, came from a long ways away, per se, spiritually speaking, but now we're made nigh, we're made close by the blood of Christ. He says, "For he is our peace, and hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us," so that separation or that division between the Jew and the Gentile has been broken down. He says, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man." Two separate groups of people are made one through the blood of Christ. So those in Paul's age, those that had been raised up under the old law system in Judaism, and they felt like they had, you might say, right to be the servants of the Most High God, and the division they felt with the Gentiles, especially those like Samaritans that lived in what used to be Israel and worshipped in Samaria, that whole partition was taken down, and they were made one body of people, not literally, but spiritually, all right? And that applies to us today. Doesn't matter what our background is, we can be one. We can be unified through the blood of Christ. He says, "so making peace." So, you know, mankind tries to make peace a lot of times with treaties, comes to agreements, let's come to the table and talk about this, and you don't charge my nation tariffs, and we don't charge you tariffs, and we're going to have a free trade agreement, or we'll agree not to fight one another, we'll come and work our differences out in a diplomatic fashion, and if there's a boundary between us that's in question, we're going to work that out. We're not going to get up in arms and fight with one another. There are a lot of efforts have been made in the name of peace, but the only true peace is through the blood of Christ. When we have the blood of Christ in our hearts and lives, we know that that's the only true peace that we can have. And he says here in the 16th verse, "and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby," or the thing that caused the hostility between different groups of people and between mankind and God. He's been able to break that down by his sacrifice on the cross. And we've been able to be be in a position of being reconciled with God. All right? It says in the 17th verse, "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh." Doesn't matter how far away you were, we needed the Lord Jesus. He says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father, unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets." So, stepping on beyond the time of Peter, James, and John, and those that were the immediate apostles, Paul is realizing time is moving on, and he says to the congregation here in his letter, he says, "You are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets." That's the background, all right? And he says, "Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So if Jesus Christ is himself is the chief cornerstone, it says, "In whom," the 21st verse, "all the building fitly framed together groweth into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So I want to talk to us this evening with the help of the Lord about not so much where we came from. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different exposure to spiritual things. But I'm very thankful that we can be one man, one body of people because of the blood of Christ and the price he paid on the cross. But I want to talk to us about what we're building. It says here that Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. We always need a place to start if you're going to build something. We need a cornerstone. We need to establish the corners of a building. Whatever you're going to construct, you need a place to start. And Jesus is the place for all of us to start. I'm thankful for the background I have, but it doesn't make me any more important than anyone else or any less important. I have to still start and fit in with the chief cornerstone. If I don't fit in that building, then I don't even, whatever I am doesn't count. So he says here, "Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord." So I'm thinking about not so much the literal building, but the spiritual structure that we want to be part of. And it's important. We said something this morning about how important it is for us to be there for one another, to help defeat our enemies, like discouragement. But we want to be built together into a temple in the Lord. That's what it says, in the Lord. Not unto the Lord, but in the Lord. So if we're built into unto a holy temple in the Lord, how do we perceive our where we fit? You know, I think sometimes about the houses that are built out of stone, and I'm not talking about a lot of the brick homes that we have in our age today are just a brick veneer. The house is made out of 2x4s or whatever. It's a wood frame house, and then the brick is just a facade on the outside. It's not a solid brick house. It just, and there's reasons for building it that way, and I'm not criticizing that. It's you don't have to paint a brick house, and as long as you pick the right color when you lay the bricks. But I'm thinking about those homes that have really thick walls that are made out of stone. There's some in Carthage, and there's some, probably some in Webb City and Carterville and all around here, because there's a lot of stone available. There's some real stone houses and buildings around here. Think of the courthouse there in Carthage, and made out of something they call Carthage marble. It's a pretty formidable looking structure. But you go over there and begin to look at that, and you realize that those blocks that's laid there they didn't come out of a mold that they poured concrete into. They were raw materials. And my understanding is when they built many of those kind of structures, that they brought kind of rough cut stone from the quarry to the building site, and then they had stone cutters and masons and those that fit those stones on the site. So they finished cutting the stone and fitting them right there as they were building this building. Now, any of you that's been involved in construction knows that you can go down here. Nowadays, we can go down and buy, if we're building something with an 8-foot wall, we can buy studs at 92 5/8, and we can put our bottom plate on and our top plate on, and we can lay them out. About all we have to do is check the boards and see which way the crown is, and we can lay a wall out and nail it together and stand it up, and just a short amount of time, you've got something that looks like a building. Obviously, it's not finished, but you're really making some progress. Well, if you're building a stone house, it's going to take some time. There's all kinds of variations in the sizes and the fit of those stones, and they have to be, I don't know how many times they try a stone before they put some mortar on it and say this is good. Maybe they don't. Maybe they measure accurately enough. I don't know. I haven't seen it done. But he says here that you are we, in the 20th verse, he said, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being a chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. So we individually become components to this spiritual structure. And the 22nd verse, it says, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we as individuals become some of the stones in that holy temple in the Lord, that spiritual dwelling place. So it's important for us to be available for the Lord to shape us into the and put us in the place that he needs us to be put into. You know, it's one thing to say, well, we have a pile of stone over here, and a visionary stone cutter come along and say, oh, I can see a really, really nice building here, and all you see is a pile of rocks. Well, I know that the Lord can see how we can fit together. You might not see how we can fit together, and I might not see how we can fit together, and you may feel like my personality clashes with someone else's personality, and I don't see how those two could ever get along, or whatever our observations are, but the Lord knows how to adjust us, if you will. He knows how to shape us. He knows how to take off the rough edges. But the important thing is to be available for the Lord to build a spiritual structure with. How are we going to have an impact on the world? We need to be able to provide spiritual shelter for those that's around us. And to provide spiritual shelter, there has to be a spiritual structure. I've done some things in my life under adverse conditions. And thankfully, I haven't had a lifetime of that. But I have done some things that I look back now and think, how did we ever accomplish some of those things? Some of the things my brother and I used to do, working on cars and lawnmowers and stuff like that. And it was like, I look back now and it's like, I don't have the energy for it now. To go out in the gravel driveway and drag something up on your chest and push it up into a hole and have your brother start the bolts. And, you know, it's just, I know it's my age, but, it just doesn't sound very exciting at all. But we were enthusiastic about that. And we did a lot of those kind of things growing up. But the Lord wants us, I'm not interested in making it difficult for people to find the Lord. I want it to be easier for people to recognize there's some spiritual shelter available. But for the spiritual shelter to be available, there has to be a spiritual house. And a spiritual house is more than one piece of plywood. I seen an advertisement for a travel trailer just today. And I said something to the boys on the way over here. The whole floor plan fit on a 4x8 sheet of plywood. Now, that's not a very big travel trailer, is it? Now, you couldn't get very many people in a travel trailer that fit on a four. Now, there's probably a reason to have a little camper that fits on a 4x8 sheet of plywood, but we couldn't all get in there. If we did, we couldn't breathe very good. But if we, a 4x8 sheet of plywood is not much space. But the Lord wants an adequate spiritual shelter everywhere there's people. I know that He wants spiritual shelter for wounded souls in this area where we're at. Not just a building that sheds the weather, but something that people can gravitate to and realize there's a place that I can go and block the world out. There's a place I can go and know that if I share something, there'll be people that'll really pray for me and really have a burden for my spiritual well-being. That's spiritual shelter. And He says here, in whom ye, every one of us, are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We want the Lord to dwell in that spiritual shelter for the benefit of mankind. All right? So, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and notice something else the Apostle Paul said. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says here in verse 9, I believe it is, for ye are laborers together with God. All right? I like to work with somebody that knows what they're doing. You know that? I remember a long time ago now, we went down, showed up at the Monarch campgrounds and was there to help build what we call the family unit now. And it was impressive how much got done that day. And I went there just basically, my carpentry skills were pretty minimal when I got there. But in about 3 days' time, I was exposed to so much expertise. I was just, it was like, this is incredible. These people can do things with skill saws and nail guns and how they frame up a wall and when they put the level on it. And I'd never seen this done before. And I was just learning so much just working with them, and I was very interested in being there. It was a good experience for me. And it says here, ye are laborers together with God. You know, the beauty of becoming a Christian and yielding yourself to God's service is we don't have to know what to do in ourselves. He says, ye are laborers together with God. He knows what to do. He's the expert. He knows how to deal with hearts. He knows how to give us the right words to say. He knows how to make us fit together with somebody that looks kind of like a porcupine. He knows how to fit us together. And when we begin to fit together is the way He adjusts us to fit, it says here, ye are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. That means He's the one that has the over. If you're the husbandry, what does that refer to? Anybody know? Pardon? An orchard, a vineyard, somebody that has the oversight of these fruit-producing plants, all right? It might be a grape vineyard, it might be an apple orchard, or something, but husbandry is you have the oversight of it, and you know you're the one that's responsible for maybe pruning, maybe fertilizing, taking care of pests and all of those. You have the oversight of this, and the end result is that there's fruit that comes out of that. He says, ye are God's husbandry. In other words, God has the oversight, the thought of Him making our hard place, you know, shaping us and making us fit with other people. That's part of it. He's there to see us when we're discouraged and give us something that'll boost us along. He's there to maybe prune us when we're, I don't mean to be too corny or something like that, but I'm at the age when I go to get my hair cut, they offer to trim my ears and my eyebrows. It's because things get a little out of control there. And, you know, the Lord can kind of trim us up a little bit. We kind of, maybe we have a little bit more enthusiasm for something than we ought to have. And He knows how to kind of say, all right, now that's enough right there. You went far enough. He says, we are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. So we have here the thought of working together with the Lord. He's the expert. He knows how to direct this. He is the husband, not as in a spouse, but is husbandry of overlooking us, all of us collectively. And He's also, we are His building, His spiritual structure for shelter for those that are wounded and hurt. Lord, help us to fit in the right place where He wants us. And in the 2 Corinthians, just to reinforce the idea that we are part of a building, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 says, when we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you... This is not what I want. Fifth chapter. For ye know that if your earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved... What's he talking about? He's talking about my literal life. My mortality. The thing that I have to deal with my aches and my pains and my disappointments and all of that. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We can be today. I hope we go home this evening with the thought seeming in our mind, we can be part of the spiritual house of God, the spiritual structure, the thing that God wants to present to the world. Yes, it's the bride of Christ, but it's also a structure. It's something that's substantial. It's something that can withstand attacks of the enemy. And Lord, help us to be, you know, there's nothing like being in a stone building when the wind's blowing. You know, if the wind is blowing outside and you're in a mobile home, it can be a little nervous. I know my mother-in-law lived in a mobile home for many years, and she heard a lot of noises. And she was by herself after my wife and my sister-in-law married and moved away. And I can remember some of those phone calls. The wind is really blowing, and I don't know if it's just the wind or if it's something else out there. And the wind would make the roof rumble, and the whole building would tremble. And there were times that she would, because we didn't live in a mobile home, she would call us, and we weren't aware that the wind was that bad yet. I hadn't heard anything apprehensive, but I didn't have something that was that fragile either. And my house would have been like toothpicks compared to a stone house. You know, one of these houses or buildings that have walls that are 18 inches or 2 foot thick, and they're made out of solid stone. There is something about feeling safe in a place like that when the wind's blowing outside. So I'd like for us to maybe go on a little bit further here. Let's go to Revelations, the third chapter. I want to notice what he says here. He's speaking to the churches. This is Christ's message through John to the churches. He says here in 3 and 12 of Revelation, he says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem." And New Jerusalem is what? It's the church. "Which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." God's plan for all of us here is not to be little islands to ourself, but to be part of a spiritual structure. All right. I recently have been doing some. We call it dirt work by the shop, but it's become rock work. And you come in with something to move some dirt around and make a pad and make it level and all of that, and they didn't get very far, and they realized there's some rock here, and it's too big for a bulldozer. Now, that's a big rock. And so they started out with a small jackhammer, and they broke several, they was broke down two or three times, breaking lines and fittings, and the hammer wasn't big enough. They got a bigger one, and it broke down, and finally they got a big machine in there, a big track hoe with a big hammer on the end of it. And we got to listen to that thing for two or three days out there, bang, 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 all day long, busting up rock. And they had rocks that they call floaters. And I could tell the difference. When he got on a floater, it was just like three or four licks, and you could tell he just went through the rock out there, just broke it up. And then they went back to another place, and it just sounded like almost like a hammer on steel. It was just clang, 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 and it never went through. They would clang a wall and break off a little piece, and it's still down there. They got it down low enough that they could get the level that they was looking for, but the rock is still there, folks. I'm telling you, I don't know, it may be as big as this building. It may go down 50 or 100 feet. I don't know. But it's a big rock. And so the Lord wants us to build on something that's solid, and Jesus is solid, and he doesn't want us to be, we can be a rock We can be convinced in our own mind. We can know what truth is, and we can really have an experience of salvation, and we can really be on fire for the Lord. But He's got something more for us. Unless you carve a cave out of the side of a rock cliff, you're never going to be a structure with one rock. It takes a lot of them. And He wants us to fit us and shape us and put us together to make that spiritual shelter. He doesn't want us to just be a floater, just out there at arm's length, so to speak, from everyone else, doing our own thing. He wants to build something. I used to spend a lot of time with Legos. And I had a large container. I don't know, something might have happened to them. They might be at my brother's place now. But we had probably enough to at least halfway fill a 5-gallon bucket of these little plastic Lego blocks. And, the only thing that limited us in building something was our imagination. We get to thinking about what you wanted to build, and you could just start putting those little pieces together and make quite a substantial little structure out of it. And the Lord, but if I just left a bucket full of Lego blocks, it never was anything. It was just a bunch of pieces. And I want to impress on us this evening that the Lord wants us to be fully persuaded in our own self. He wants us to have a real experience with Him as an individual basis. He wants us to be good, solid material. He doesn't want us to be something that just easily crumbles and falls by the wayside. He wants us to be substantial building material. But He wants us to come together to build a spiritual house. A spiritual shelter. I hope you can get a vision and a picture in your mind of how important it is for us to be surrendered and be part of His husbandry, where He can prune us and shape us and trim us and put us in the place that He would have us to be, where when those that come along our way that are emotionally wounded, spiritually wounded, that are in a place of disrepair in their souls, they can find a haven. They can find a place that shelters them from the storms of life and the storms of sin and all of those things that are harmful to man's spirit. They can find a place of shelter and be able to begin to build a relationship with the Lord. Become a rock, if you will, themselves. And then find their place. I believe the Lord wants us all to fit in there and be a spiritual structure together with one another. I want to be there, and I want each one of you to be there too. I desire your prayers. The Lord would help me be what I ought to be. Pray for me.